Surviving Life with the Vambillies is about a Christian perspective on everyday challenges surrounding work, family, and marriage.
The aim of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings. So for the last couple of episodes, we've really been going in on knowing what's happening in your life, knowing the season that you're in, and then pressing forward into it. And as we talk about moving forward and the things that come in to intercept the journey, are we aware of what is trying to intercept the journey? Okay, so now we've grown. We are mature. We have a better understanding of what my thing is. If you watch the last episode where we were talking about, you know, did God fail me? I spoke a little bit in the end about my journey with depression, but it was just really at the end. So for 30 years, clean out, I couldn't see anything good in the world. And in my 30th year, that's when the Lord proper delivered me. Okay, let's talk about deliverance, laying of hands, etc. And everything.
Can you actually touch on this? Because obviously, there are two school of thoughts, right? There are people who are like, you're depressed, see a psychologist.
Yeah.
And then they just leave it at that. Mm. And then there's also areas where the church has failed, where someone is depressed, they need to see maybe some kind of professional, but they just decide we're going to pray for it. Mm-hmm. And they pray, nothing happens. They demonize pills and all of that. Then we've got people on pills. After pills, they're depressed now, 20, 30 years on pills. Mm-hmm. With someone who's got a degree in psychology and it's your background, how do we balance that two frame of thought? In the time when you were depressed, were you just praying over it, like, and then nothing happened for the 30 years? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, just go into that so that as a parent, if I'm listening as a parent, I can know what to balance and all of that.
You know, I think the Lord leads us differently in how to deal with what we're going through. And I personally had a balance of the two. And then towards the end of everything, the Lord really came to me and I had to choose Him. So because of my long history with depression, it wasn't hidden from my family. You know, from pretty early on, they picked up because things would happen with me. I would faint while I was at school. I would be trying to commit suicide in various different ways. And so my first kind of counseling happened when I was 13 years old because I'd gone through something and I felt like I needed help. And then the second time where it became more cemented in my life, where I saw a counselor, was when I was 17 years old. And that morning, I remembered saying to the Lord, if you don't do something for me today, I'm going to end it all. And I was called to the principal's office and asked to help with another counseling session that I had to translate to French because I was taking French in grade 10, 11, and 12. And so I thought, oh, here's a reason to live now because I have to translate for this girl who became my friend. So I really quite cared for her.
When you say you had to translate for her, what do you mean?
She was from Cameroon. So she was an exchange student who was going through something at home. Yeah. And so she couldn't communicate to the counselor what was happening. And so they needed to know, how do we move forward? And because I was doing French at the time, a senior student doing French, I was called to the principal's office to, you know, confidentially translate these lessons. I guess I should have known French was in my future back then, but hey, the mix of the two, right? French and psychology.
Yeah.
And the psychiatrist picked up my cues as she was talking to the girl. I mean, it's just a gift, I guess, right? Because I was just translating, and when the lady left the first day, she said, Letitia, please stay behind because I saw some of your reactions when I was speaking to the girl. Are you okay?
I see.
And that's when I just broke down 17 years of what I had been carrying. And she cried with me. And she said, how have you carried this? You are so young, right? And there began my journey with pills because she felt it was serious enough that I needed mood stabilizers. Because I needed mood stabilizers, my parents had to get involved. So she had a meeting with my father. And she told him how I was going through, you know, depression. My father was devastated. So I took those pills for a good 5 years between the age of 17 and 22.
All right.
Then when I went to the university, I had a counselor. You know, I would see the counselor. But one thing I learned after so many years of being on the mood stabilizers is that I couldn't feel anything anymore. Mm. And God in His sovereignty, I had worn braces at that point for 4 years, and it had ruined the lining of my jaw. So I needed maxillofacial surgery. So I had an underbite. So that's where they push your jaw back. In my case, they only pushed it back. They didn't push the top forward. And during that surgery, my jaw had to be wired shut for 2 weeks. Mm. So I was on liquids for 2 weeks while the jaw healed. Mm. And that's when I stopped taking the medication.
Oh,
and during those 2 weeks, I was in the depression wilderness. Like, where are my pills?
Yeah.
God, what do I do? That's when I started seeking the Lord. Mm. And I found that there was a certain freedom in dealing with my mental struggles with the Lord.
Mm.
That meant there wasn't something that was controlling my reactions. So I was even shocked at my own reactions, right? So this is where it began with the Lord and, you know, long story short, Christian counseling. But to touch on the topic of do you know your enemy? So after the Lord delivered me at the age of 30, after two children, a husband, a business, and everything that's happened, and I'm doing these things depressed, I now know...
So when you say delivered you...
Yes.
I'm asking this for the sake of the listener.
Sure.
What did that look like? Were you prayed for? Did it just stop?
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
So we were going through a very traumatic year. There was something that happened where I resorted to my traumatized self.
Mm.
And we were on the brink of this is the end of us right there.
Mm.
And in that moment, when I spoke, something just left my body. And I remembered you laid hands on me to pray. And I physically felt something leaving my body. And I heard the Lord saying, if you do not give this thing up, you're going to lose everything I have in store for you. And ironically, we always talk about how your name is a prophecy over your life. Every time someone speaks your name, they are prophesying over you. My name means joy. My name means joy. And we always say the enemy will fight your name.
Yeah.
And here I am, 30 years of existence, I've never known joy.
Yeah.
And as you prayed for me, I was like so joyous. You remember,
yes,
I was like crying. I've never cried that much. And there was so much joy. And when I opened my eyes, it was a mixture of shock and terror. Shock because everything was greener. Oh my goodness. The trees looked so green. It was like I had never seen trees before. The sky was so blue. The light was crisp. The terror, however, is that I had been so depressed. I didn't realize I had children.
Mm.
I didn't realize I was married.
Mm.
I opened my eyes and I looked at our room and I couldn't believe that was our house. So I had this thing, and this is going to be the future for a future episode where we really go into what that was like, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't contribute to anything. Everything would just happen around me. And during that deliverance where I felt an entity just leave my body, it actually felt like I was hovering over my body, the real me, and then I just came in, and I woke up, and I'm like, whose children are these? Is this my husband? Oh my God, what have I done? You know, it was in that moment that I was like, how did God, how did you build all this? Because I haven't been here. And that began a journey of taking ownership, taking possession of your position, if that makes sense. Saying, oh my goodness, I'm the wife in this home. What does that mean? Oh my goodness, I'm the mother in this home. What does that mean? And all the places I had left open because I was just floating through depression, my saving grace was God, knowing God.
For someone who's not been through depression,
mm-hmm.
what does that feel like? So if I'm listening and maybe I'm a parent, my child's depressed, I'm looking at them, I want to intervene, but I'm almost telling them to snap out of it, but it's not working. So when you say it, you felt like you were floating over, what does that disconnect feel like?
It feels like you've got tinted glasses where someone is saying, oh, it's just simple, everything is just wonderful. And you look at everything and you can only see like the darkness of everything. Oh, you're so blessed. And you're like, wait, what are you talking about? Like how? You know, and it's really, I think just being there and allowing the person to speak what they're going through and not dismissing, because it's really a battle of the mind. You know, when Saul was going through depression, the scripture said he called for music. He called for, you know, but it wouldn't leave him. The spirit would not leave him. And so you need to understand that it's a sort of inhabitation, whether you want to call it an inhabitation of a feeling or an inhabitation of a spirit. You have got a person, a thing that has contaminated the host. So it's almost like you're saying, oh, just get rid of the thing. But you were not in charge of the thing coming in necessarily, because that's now important. How did the thing come in? So that's what it felt like. It also felt like I woke up to relationships I never chose. I woke up and immediately I saw danger everywhere. And I had such a need to fix it. Like, who is this person? Why are they in my life? Why did I allow this? I realized I had no boundaries. You know, like, I so much.
It's almost like you're explaining, like, being present in your life, but not being active.
Yeah, existing but not being present.
Okay, existing.
Yes, but not being present. And I think you experienced that, and the children experienced that. That mom is here, but she's not really here. Yeah.
How would you advise parents and people in general, husbands, wives, because we've got a huge audience, to deal with the balance between the pills and the deliverance? Because I feel like the struggle is we've got two camps. The one camp is like, God will heal you, that's all you need. The other camp is saying, no, you need pills. Where do we find that balance? What would you advise us as the church to deal with such situations?
You know, I don't think there needs to be a fight necessarily, and I'm going to explain why. I believe that God leads in all things. I mean, we know somebody who has a chemical imbalance in the brain, as in when they were born, they had a lack of
serotonin,
and they don't produce enough serotonin. Can God heal that? 100%. Can it be, you know, subsidized with some kind of medication to help the person? That's also the truth. That's also someone's journey. But I would advise, if you're a parent or you yourself are going through something, there is no place the Lord cannot reach, because he is a counselor. But what I have found in our spaces, right, in our ministries, a lot of the time we're so quick for the miracle that we don't walk the journey with the person. And some of these mental struggles are journeys. Yes. It's not always a one. I mean, I'm so blessed. After 30 years, I had a... But for 30 years, it was a journey. And there needs to be understanding and patience and walking with a person. And that's where I would advise seeing some kind of counselor. The only reason I would is because of the in-depth work. We go into family. Where does this come from? You know, and you work with the two to say, there's this event that's happened in the family that the enemy is now taking advantage of to put in the prefrontal cortex of this child or this person. And they can't seem to break out of what happened in 19, you know, and the Lord now break that glass ceiling of them living in the past, because that's depression, right? Yeah. Living in the past, living in a fear of what you think is going to happen based on something that already occurred. Physiologically, psychologically, spiritually, it's a trauma that just lives in your body. And you don't know how to get rid of it or how to see life the way other people are seeing life. Mm. I mean, you planned our whole wedding. Mm. I just kind of pitched. Mm. I was like, hey, here I am. And I didn't think anything was wrong with that. I didn't really have an opinion on the cake or the decor, or, and I just thought it was our personalities. Now, in a previous episode, we spoke about perversion versus submittance, right? Talk about perversion. Yes, I'm a more somber character, but to completely keep quiet about your big day, now that's extreme, right? So I would just kind of live in this motion, and you also get used to it. It's not like you know you're depressed and you need healing. You make depression your character.
I see.
You think this is who I am. You can no longer see that, no, that's the depression speaking. That's not you. You know, oh, I'm just a sad person. I'm just a lonely person. No, that's the depression speaking. That's not you.
Yes.
So that's what it feels like. That's what it walks like, right?
Yeah.
And when we speak of, do you know your enemy? The reason I wanted to go into my story, and we're going into my story, is because though the Lord has delivered me, oh, you better know your cues, okay? Because things can be happening and you think you've got it, but what the Lord has taught me is every night before I go to bed, to sit with Him and go through the day. Okay, what happened? What hurt me today? And what I learned is that He will deal with me within a two-day period. And I was feeling that recently with everything that we, you know, had just experienced this week. I needed those 2 days to just sit and talk to God, because your processing is off. So you can be delivered, but you've been processing this thing like this for 30 years. And so it's a constant submitting to say, I know that in my physical, I don't process in a way that's good for my mental, my spirit, my body. So I will sit with the Lord and say, this and this and this and this happened. How are you processing it? God, how am I supposed to see it? And what I found is that when I take that moment, and I always say to you, babe, I'm about to crash. Let me do whatever before I crash.
Yeah.
God, in that moment when I'm telling you I'm crashing, He then puts it into
perspective.
Yes, He aligns it and He says, it's not this, it's this. So when you know what your enemy is, Hebrews 12:1 says, you know, now that we are surrounded by a crowd of witnesses, we can strip off the weights and the sins that so easily ensnares us. The part that says easily is really so important for me, because we think it's the big things that are our enemy, or it must be a big bomb that falls. But my physical mind is its own enemy, because that's what the enemy has been using for so long. So now the process with the Lord currently where I am, and you know, we always talk about this, as Christians, we like to speak in hindsight and say, oh, I used to, I'm fine now. But you know, needing people to speak about in the moment, right? What is my reality right now? My reality right now is allowing the Lord to teach me how to process. So maybe in 5 years, the processing is going to be like that. But because I'm aware of how the enemy has been mocking me for 30 years of my life, I just know that before it gets there, process with God. Do not process with your emotions, because those are probably off kilter.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us in the church don't want to admit to ourselves that we've gone through traumatic experiences. We almost want to carry on like, no, we are okay, you know, as if we admit that we went through some stuff, that we are somehow damaged, or, you know, we are not holy in inverted commas, because, you know, there's almost like a superficial standard that we have for Christianity. So you'll find us running away from our realities, running away from things that we actually have gone through, instead of facing them and dealing with them. You know, how would you advise us to, you know, the scripture, I'll continue with Hebrews 12, where it says how Christ, despising the shame,
mm-hmm.
still went to the cross, you know, looking at the price that comes after facing that cross. So the shame, why?
Yeah.
It has to be naked.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as a parent, I don't want to be naked before my children. What about a creator being naked in front of his creation?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to your cross, mm-hmm. you have to carry it, you have to be crucified on it. But post it is a healing, is a resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
How would you advise people to deal with the things that they've gone through mm-hmm. without attaching it to who they are?
You know, this is one of the primary reasons why the ultimate is the Lord, because he has a way of putting things like beautiful poetry, right? Turning everything to your good, your Jeremiah 29:11s that promise you of prosperity and good plans that the Lord has in store for you. And the more you spend time in the Lord and the more you realize that he has a plan for you, and at some point the enemy intercepts. Because the enemy is there thinking, you know, I'm not going to let anybody really get to the fullness of what God purposed them to be.
Mm.
The story changes and you begin to realize that the journey you've walked, even that journey, even that painful one, has got purpose.
Yes.
Whether the purpose is just for you to be a certain way or, I mean, the fact that I'm even here today, able to speak about this, whether I do it like this or do it in a room with someone that I'm counseling, I have begun to see the purpose. It has made me so alert for my children because I saw it in the bloodline. Oh, I saw it in the bloodline, the theft that the enemy would bring to people's successes because they were fighting a battle of the mind. And just to begin to pray over the children and to prophesy over them that this thing ends with me. In a previous episode, we spoke about being the breaker, right? If you're going to be the breaker, you're going to break through it. If you're going to be the breaker, you're going to break through it.
Yeah.
And that's really something that helped me to say, I have seen this in previous generations. Did anybody stand? Did anybody get delivered? Did anybody? So the fact that the Lord has delivered me has made me more fervent about the children, about the next generation, about laying hands, about speaking life, because you begin to realize that it's not something you did or something that happened to you. There are people who are born and feel they shouldn't be here. There are people who are born and feel they're not good enough, just from a place of being, not pretty enough, not thin enough, not thick enough, the hair is not long or shiny enough. And what's happened for you to believe that about yourself? It's a battle of the mind. And that's why we have to give to the Lord and tear down every high thought that exalts itself above the obedience of Jesus Christ. So it's beyond, you know, come to your better self, speak positive, but really seeking the Lord. Is this the fullness of life that you promised me in John 10:10, you know?
Sure.
That you know, you gave life and you gave, or sorry, Luke 10:10, that you gave life that I should have it more abundantly. If it's not an abundant life, then it's not yet mature in Christ.
Sure.
And the journey, the seeking for what is this abundant life that you have promised me? Why does it look like this? Is really what got me through, I would say.
So I think we need a part two of this.
Yeah.
So we're going to encourage you to join us next week as we dig deeper into these matters. You're with Danny and Letitia Vambili here on Surviving Life with the Vambilis.
Thank you for joining us on Surviving Life with the Vambilis.
Remember that you can join us every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to hear the entirety of the show, 30 minutes uninterrupted.
And tomorrow from 11 to 1 p.m., you can tune in for our discussions where we get to hear from you and discuss the topic further.
You can WhatsApp us during the live show using 071-364-0376 so that we can hear your opinions, your thoughts, and of course your experiences, and play your voice notes live on air.
And on social media, you can also get us on IG. under Impact 103, to be exact. You can also find us on Facebook on Impact Live.
And our personal pages, Surviving Life with the Vambilis, you can just type in at the Vambilis and join all our discussions there as well.
We look forward to having these discussions with you on a weekly basis. Myself, Danny Vambili, and with my lovely wife,
Letitia Vambili. This is us signing off. Until next week.
Goodbye.